good morning, everybody. Welcome into the something that's late. In the middle of doing something, forgot that I was on here in 3 minutes, and before I knew it, it was 3 minutes after. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the show. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, bringing you coverage of NDB Media Sports Talk Radio. You're listening to Sports Talk Over Coffee. I am Sonny Clark. Not sure if we're going to get Andrea this morning or not, so I always got the backup plan, and that's understandable, that, and it's not a problem either because we cover a lot of things. Folks, let's keep you apprised of what's going on here on NDB Media and the Couch Potato Sports Show. I say this because there's a lot of things going on, especially this Thursday. This Thursday is the opening game. It's a preseason game. However, we're keeping our promise. We are on the Couch Potato Sports Show going to be your nicotine patch to get you from the Super Bowl to the actual training camps that open up for NFL with the indoor football and things of that sort. Keep in your mind, if you're a football guy, we're going to kind of do it. We're also going to keep track of football. We're going to break down football, football teams, football moves, and everything that goes on as far as football. We are still your authority on Blog Talk Radio regarding football. So you keep your eyes and ears open, and we'll be bringing that to you as well. Also, the Couch Potato Sports Show, if you like listening to high school stuff, we're going to be bringing you the playoffs for the Rowlett Eagles here in the city I live in, Rowlett. The Eagles basketball team is going to be going into the end-of-the-year tournament, as well as the baseball team is starting up here. So keep your eyes and ears open over on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and also keep track of, and I mentioned the indoor football league because my right-hand man is Roger Noriega. So hopefully he's going to feel better this Thursday for it's a home game and it's a preseason game over at the Allen Event Center. We'll be bringing you live coverage from that. That's kick in the pants. Absolutely love the Texas Revolution and what they do and the ownership over there. So it's going to be really interesting. There's Matt Alvarez. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Sports Talk Over Coffee. I'm not sure if we're going to get, like I said, not sure if I'm going to get Andrea in here this morning or not, but we'll be bringing it to you. It is Monday morning here on NDB Media Sports Program, and I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, the All-Star Game happened yesterday for the NBA. Does anybody care? I mean, really, this is one All-Star game I can do without in the NBA. However, I used to be a fan. I'm not going to say I am a fan. I used to be a fan of the three-point shot contest as well as the dunk contest. But that's gotten, I mean, I don't think there's a dunk I haven't seen. And if there is, I'm not impressed. So, you know, I've lost all interest in the All-Star game. Are you out there part of those feeling of that same thing? However, I looked at the score and I was shocked at the score, and the West won this basketball game. Now, you know, this is one game that I think, and I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to start off by saying that I think where you can play hard, there's minimal risk in baseball and minimal risk in basketball as far as health is concerned. Hockey, obviously, I think there's a lot of health concerns that could go on there. As well as football, there's just too much going on that if I'm a player, sometimes I'm questioning whether or not I want to do it. But I'll tell you right now, the fact that the West beat the East, it's not the fact that they beat them, okay? And just from reading what I read, this was the Chris Paul show. And I will tell you that the Clippers have made their step to, you know, I don't want to call them an elite team because Lord knows, the Clippers having one good season isn't a reason to call this team an elite player. Or elite team. But I'm going to tell you, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul have turned that team around. and they've made them to where you're not going to beat this team week in, or night in, night out. It's just not going to happen. And Chris Paul, he gets the MVP. Like I said, I didn't watch. But CP3, this guy, he is one guy that I think makes he's a difference maker for your team. And then add up on Blake Griffin, who has come on in the last two seasons, that makes this team what they are today. And I don't know. Hey, yo, it's really me awake. Yeah, you're awake. Matt Alvarez in the chat room. You know, people that did watch the All-Star game, but not me last night. No, I know people that did too. I know the big dog probably watched the All-Star game last night, you know. And I watch basketball. I just don't want to watch that game. However, I mean, the number on that game, I mean, folks, the score of the game was 138. Think they were playing defense last night? So, you know, I don't know. It was the 62nd All-Star game. And Chris Paul became the first player to win the game's MVP for the Clippers. I mean, so it's the first time that ever happened. He became the third player in All-Star history to record at least 20 points and 15 assists in the game. Isaiah Thomas did it in 84. Johnson did it in, and that's mean Magic Johnson, in 1985. In that era, that is where Sonny watched NBA. Back in, you know, early 80s to about 89. I was really into basketball, watching basketball. And that's probably, you know, I played on the basketball team in high school and things like that. So that had a lot to do with how we were doing it. So, I don't know. What do you think about the All-Star game? I know I wasn't impressed. So, what do you think? Is it something that is in your mind? As far as do you watch or are you going to watch? Future NBA All-Star games. And I will say that I think that it opens up the door for all kinds of stuff. It opens up more interest. Last night's game makes me a little bit more interested in maybe watching next year. So, what's up with these new NBA Apollo type men's shirts, shirt man? I don't know. I didn't see them. I can't answer the question. So, send me a picture. Send the post, and I'll look at it. Put the post of a picture, and I'll take a look at it. I don't know. But here's what I know about the NBA, and, you know, because no one cares about it. I will tell you this. I'm going to put this out here. I'm writing off the Celtics. Now, Boston is sitting at 28-24. That's bad enough. But they're holding on to the seventh place. And this is a quote from Kevin Garnett. He's tired. The team is tired. Now, A, I have no sympathy for these guys. Okay. And I say that with all due respect, okay, because that's all they do. How a team could be, you know, you don't play every single day. Sometimes you play the back-to-backs. If you're tired, take a nap. I don't even want to hear that kind of stuff. And when a team starts making excuses for their second half drop that they're about ready to go through before they even start the second half, it tells me something about the Celtics as a team. And here's another thing. I love me some Danny Age, but it might be time to make a switch at the general manager position over there for the Boston Celtics. I know Danny Ainge was a Celtic. I know, and the guy's got talent, and he's going to find another job. But it's obvious this team does not want to grasp onto what his vision of an NBA team may be. And that might be a problem also because he's old school. He's old school like me. A little bit younger, but old school. And these new players, and we were talking about it yesterday on the Couch Potato Sports Show when we were talking football. You've got to find a way to relate to these young players. In other words, you got to kiss their ass to make them feel good about themselves in order for them to play well, and that really gripes my ass as I sit and I listen. And I watch. Because I'm from the old school back in the 80s. I mean, I'm talking rough and tumble, you know, NBA players. Okay, that we're not a bunch of wusses, and that's what we're getting in today's basketball. I'm going to put it out there. It's a sport, and I like watching it, but I've never seen a bunch of, you know, crybabies and things like that as far as now. Isaiah Thomas, the Detroit Pistons, that's all they did was crybaby around. And I say that because that was their, I mean, they were known as the bad boys and the bunch of crybabies. But I'm going to tell you, I'd much rather watch games from that era than today's era. And it is, today's players are just a bunch of wussies. They have no guts, they have no, they cry after every play. I got fouled every time I go to the back. You know, come on. Go back into the days of 80 to about 89, and you want this, I mean, you want to call the NBA finesse? Back in the 80s, this game was not finesse. This was rough and tumble. And that was the kind of game I liked. I liked a physical game. And those physical games, I mean, as much as I hate Rodman, Rodman was probably one of the most physical basketball players out on the basketball court. Karl Malone, as nice as he was a tough son of a gun. He played hard. Isaiah Thomas, Lambeer, Tony Kukoc. And I'm talking some names here that, you know, these guys were in it to win it. Larry Bird, those guys, man, they were tough. And here's another thing. And maybe it's me, and I think it's because there's too much money in basketball. These guys are friends. I'm going to tell you right now, you did not see Magic and Larry Bird until they retired hanging out as buddies. They didn't like each other. Teams didn't like each other. Now these guys hang out every weekend down at the club making it rain. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I like to have a little animosity in these games. 347-637-2306. That's the number to get in online if you want to. But I'm going to, you know, the Celtics are already making excuses for a second half slide. By Kevin Garnett coming out just saying, I'm tired. You know what? Then take a nap. I mean, you're not like the regular people, okay? You can lay down whenever you want. Regular people got to work. You work at nighttime. Take a nap. After the game, instead of going to the club, maybe you should go home and go to bed. That's just me. Especially if you're married, you should go home, go to bed. Go home to your family. I don't have any sympathy for that crap. And the fact that it's an excuse, I'm writing off the Celtics right now. I'll be the first to say if they drop off and they won't make the playoffs. Then Danny Ainge is going to have a problem as he moves forward as the GM on the scene. I don't know. To me, it seems like there's something that has to be done if you are actually a Celtic fan and you're watching that team and listening to what they said. How they bring – and that's another thing. When you're a fan and you hear that, how do you feel? I mean, if you're a fan of the – if you're a fan of that whole thing – are you happy about hearing that kind of thing? I know I'm not. You can't be. And that's going to be the problem as you go move forward and the rest of the season moves on, and as teams are starting to get better, and teams that begin to fall out of the top, you know, they're doing well now, but then they don't make it as far as in the conference within the top eight. And there's going to be teams that fall out of that. And as they do that, you're going to see other teams fall in. And the Celtics, I think they've gotten to the point where they're too old, and that's the reason why they're tired. But they don't feel sorry for them. I mean, this is the NBA. You've got a bunch of young guys out there that are willing to go out night in, night out, and play ball. Not only that, they make tons of money. Tons of money. And the fact that they are so crybabyish about being out on the court, you know, I'm tired.
Whatever. Whatever. Or
exactly, Roger. Whatever. I don't even want to hear it. Some other news. Let's go. Kate Upton on the front of Sports Illustrated for the second year in the row. Does anybody care? I'm in one of these pessimistic moods this morning. You know, instead of looking at the glass half, you know, full, I'm looking at it half empty. Speaking of that, my coffee is low. But I don't know. You know, I know guys, and I get guys, because I am a guy, and I understand it. But my question would be, as I sit and I take a look at all of those things, as far as Cade Upton is concerned, does it, you know, do you care? I mean, I don't know, Matt. Do you? I mean, this is the one where you just buy him for the pictures. I mean, why is that on the front? You know, of Sports Illustrated. I mean, and not only that. I mean, hey, I'm not questioning whether or not the girl's hot. By the way, Matt, you sent me a search page. Do me a favor, if you would. Click on the website, grab up the actual website so I can see that shirt that you were talking about. It's only coming to a search page. But, you know, Kate Upton on the front of Sports Illustrated, I know they do the, you know, and I get it. I understand men are pervs. That's what they want to look at. I get it. But Sports Illustrated is a sports magazine. You know, I'm not really impressed about what Sports Illustrated does on the front of their covers. Because I don't care. And I think that's one of my problems. I don't care. When I pick up a sports magazine, I want to read about sports. If I want to see that, I'll go buy me a nudie magazine. No problem. Take your time, Matt. If I want to see that kind of thing, I'll go out and buy a magazine that's for it. And while the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit magazine has been so successful and everything, I'm down on it. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Is it me or what? I don't know.
Wow.
Yes, I know, Roger. When I buy a sporting magazine, I want it to be about sports.
Wow.
I know. It surprises me, too. But I just think there are other magazines out there that maybe, and I'll say this, that maybe would fulfill that kind of thing for me.
Woohoo!
Yes. They make it easy.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just me. Hey, some other news out there that I want to talk about, the wrestling out of the Olympics. Now, granted, folks, let me tell you something. The couch is not an Olympic guy. I understand why everybody gets excited about it. I understand that. I just prefer not to watch it. But here, and I know Matt Alvarez, you know, we could probably talk about this. The fact that there's not going to be any wrestling, one of the original sports in the Olympics, that they're not going to have it, to me, well, That's almost nuts. Remember, we're talking about an Olympic sports that has bowling and synchronized swimming in it. Okay, yeah, those are sports. Synchronized swimming. I'm using that example because I'm definitely going to one side to another. You know, and I don't want to, and I'm going to say this, and I lose half of a man card by saying this. I actually like watching synchronized swimming. If I'm going to sit and watch the Olympics, I would watch that. But to call it a sport more so than a recreation or just a show, I don't know. But wrestling, real wrestling. I'm not talking WWE wrestling. I'm talking about real wrestling. Taking that out of the Olympics to me is almost taking the Olympics and slapping them in the face. And saying via the Olympics, you know, we don't want real sports in there. Next thing you know, there'll be basket weaving in there. No Olympics. No wrestling in the Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Does not seem right. Now, Kurt Angle says he's going to try to use any kind of influence that he has, which I don't know if he really does, but I agree with him. He needs to get out there and they need to figure out how to get the sports people that make decisions for the Olympics and figure out how there's no wrestling. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. I don't know what it is. I hate that. Are they, you know, wow, that's ugly. And we're talking about the shirts for the NBA. Oh my good Lord. That's god awful. That's god awful. Bowling, synchronized swimming, and you know, if we're gonna overflow the Olympics with useless sports, I think wrestling would not qualify. There's an absolute need for wrestling, I think. I don't understand. And I don't understand. I don't know what someone is saying. I mean, maybe it's a dying sport. So what? Sometimes you just got to suck up onto something that is. And part of the tradition of the Olympics has got to be wrestling. My gosh, it was one of the origins. Hell, even basketball wasn't one of the original. I'm not saying that basketball shouldn't be in there, but unbelievable. Whoever makes the decisions, as far as that part is concerned, completely has me baffled. Completely. And no, it's not because I watch wrestling each and every week. And it's not because I necessarily watch wrestling in general. I just know what's a sport and what's not. I mean, if you're going to get rid of wrestling, you got to get rid of synchronized swimming. I mean, talk about a joke. Bowling. I mean, come on. If you're going to take recreation, if you want to call wrestling a recreation, then you got to take out some of these other sports that are just useless. How about that thing with a broom on the ice? Whatever the hell that's called. That can go. If I'm not mistaken, badminton is an Olympic sport. People in charge over there have me completely confused. But that's no great big surprise. Because in reality, you know, if you are gonna do something as far as the Olympics are concerned, you're gonna put yourself out there to where you can make money. I get it. But synchronized swimming is not gonna do it. I mean but which one's going to bring in more money, synchronized swimming or wrestling? I mean, come on, let's put it on a – synchronized swimming ever going to be out wrestling in reality?
Yeah, Zeke. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Matt Alvarez in the chat room says that he hopes that Kurt Angle really gets involved. And why get rid of something that you would be like telling your girls you can't be dancers, but you can't be dancers because you want to, because dancing is gone. Yeah, it's like telling wrestlers, and some of these wrestlers have been training for the Olympics for years. I mean, talk about devastation. And it's not easy to train to go to the Olympics. There have been people who have been training for the Olympics for 10, 12 years. How they make money or are able to do so, that part I don't know. That comes from sponsorships, I'm sure. But, you know, wow. Wow. So the question is, will they ever bring back wrestling?
You know, never know.
I know, Roger. You just never know. But when you were talking about Kurt Angle getting involved, we're talking about an Olympic gold medalist. And I don't know if Kurt Angle has the pull to make a difference to get them to change that idea about not having wrestling in the Olympics. Okay, there we go. I didn't necessarily know that. I thought Brock Lesnar was a cage fighter, but evidently... Oh, that's right, in college. And for all that matters, the one that went to Harvard, he was a Christopher... you'll know who I'm talking about. He's doing with the brain scans and everything. He was a professional. I mean, Swagger, if I'm not mistaken, was from Oklahoma State. He was a great wrestler in college. I mean, If you want to go back to the days, I mean, you can go back to the Steiner brothers. They were great wrestlers back in Michigan. Yeah, absolutely. They get their initial start in real wrestling, and then they get part of the entertainment. Chris Benoit, yeah. Oh, geez, I cannot remember that guy. I know his name is Chris. And I know he went to Harvard, and I know he's doing the brain scan studies. But anyway, that's another story. But you get what I'm saying. Some of these guys are actually really smart, too. Not as dumb as their characters. I mean, oh, man, now that's going to bother me. I'm going to have to look that up, man. But no, the wrestling, that needs to change. And I don't know what it needs to change. I don't know what it takes to get the Olympics to reconsider a bad idea. But if there is a way, Kurt Angle's probably, I'm hoping he can get in there and make that change. And some of the other, you know, people, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know any wrestlers that, you know, wrestled in the day. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's the sport that needs to be in there. And it's actually sad that they are not going to have that in there. So, I don't know. Seems like to me that there needs to be some kind of changes that go on. But the fact that they are not even considering having wrestling in there.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. It's just crazy. Wanted to get to some of the NFL talk as we got about 27 more minutes left to go in the show. It is a holiday, by the way. Happy President's Day, if that means anything to you, unless you're like me, pissed off that the banks are not open. got some business to do, you know? Need to get to the bank. But looking at the NFL this year, I wanted to talk a little bit about it. 2012 was a good year. And I think the referee thing was blown out of proportion. One bad call, if that call didn't happen, we might have seen the full-time referees the whole year. But talk about a play. Seattle Seahawks did what they did in the playoffs to get there. Green Bay lost that game. Maybe cost them. I think it could have maybe did something to their brain as far as mental. But the NFL has some interesting things that happened this year. Want to go over them? I mean, Indianapolis Colts goes from 2-14 to 11-5. Andrew Luck, 4,374 yards. Ballard for the Colts also ran for 814 yards. Hilton, 861 yards, 7 TDs. Are we serious? But I think I got old Matt Alvarez online. Good morning, Matt. How you doing, my friend?
Hey,
okay,
Sonny,
area
Tarvin.
Code, is that you, Matt?
Hey, Sonny, it's Tarvin, man. What's going on?
Hey, Tarvin, you're calling from a different line. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Well, I'm calling from a bank. You know, it's President's Day. I'm in a financial institution. I'm the only one here, so I don't know. I feel neglected here. I'm the only one working.
Yeah, I mean, I had some business to take care of today, and not the damn. You know, you're president of a bank, so you might as well be open.
Oh, yeah, right.
I hear you're waking up. I can tell there's a difference in your voice. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing good. Just doing some work at the office here. It's peaceful and quiet, so that's always good. No, my phone's not ringing, so I was listening to the show.
And it's not going to all day today, is it?
No, I'm just going to work a couple hours, and I'm out. So.
Got it. Real quick on the wrestling. Unbelievable that I don't watch, and I'll put it out there, I don't watch wrestling. I'll be honest, I don't care about wrestling, up on the fact that I watch it on Monday nights for the entertainment. But I'm talking about real wrestling. I mean, the college and the high school wrestling. I remember going to wrestling matches when I was in high school. I loved going. It was kind of cool. Is this a mistake for the Olympics not having them? I mean, you got synchronized swimming and bowling in the Olympics, but you're not going to have one of the originals.
I mean, everybody loves wrestling, Sonny, especially the people that do it. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mistake. I think wrestling's very important. I think a lot of people, I loved it when I was a kid, and that's the fake wrestling. So I did wrestle in high school just a couple of years, so I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I think it is. I think they need to do something completely about that this morning. You know, and whether or not Kurt Angle of the wrestling, whether or not they can do something about it, we'll find out going in there. Since you are at work, is there anything that you wanted to talk about, or are you just listening in online?
Yeah, I was just listening in online. Thought I'd call and say, hey, I'm just listening to you, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I mean, if you got time, you got to work and you're just listening, that's cool too. So I don't know what your situation is as far as that is concerned. So we're just going over some of the things that, you know, kind of reviewing a little bit what happened yesterday as we were talking. Hey, I wanted to, you bailed yesterday, and I wanted to get your opinion on it because it was an interesting topic that we were talking about as you bailed. We were talking about the new head coaches in the NFL, and that's what I was going to this morning for the rest of the show. You look at the head coaches. Only one of the eight were actual experienced head coaches that were out there. And I'm talking about Andy Reid taking over Kansas City. But the rest of them, Trussman in Chicago, Marone in Buffalo, Chedzinski in Cleveland, Arians in Arizona, McCoy in San Diego, Kelly in Philly, and Bradley in Jacksonville. Now, I know the young people, I know they got young and there's a new method of coaching nowadays, but I'm wondering if money has anything to do with the fact that we're not talking about Billick, Gruden, Cowher, you know, sitting right there as a head coach somewhere. I'm wondering if money has a lot to do with it or if it's a combination. I know these coaches that know these young guys, but, I mean, do you think money has a lot to do with it when you're talking about some of these franchises? They're not the most successful, you know, Jacksonville, Arizona, Cleveland, Buffalo. Well, Chicago's had some success, but as of late, San Diego hasn't been successful. You think money has a lot to do with the reason why they're grabbing up these inexperienced NFL coaches that are going to take the field this upcoming season?
Well, I think it's definitely money, but I think they tried to play it off as they're the younger coaches. We need a change. We need, you know, to take a chance and things. But it is money, Sonny. I mean, it's going to take a lot of money to get a John Gruden, Bill Cowher, someone like that. So the way they look at it is they're saving money and they're going to get a guy in for cheaper that's going to work extra hard than those guys that you're going to put in there to try to make their name. So I think it's a smart move, honestly, especially when your team sucks. I mean, you have nothing to lose, really.
And business-wise, you know, you're going to see these guys, you know, out there to try to prove themselves. Like you said, they're going to work maybe just a little bit harder out there to make a, you know, to try to make a difference and make a name for themselves so they can grab up some more money and things like that. With the new teams that are going and with the, I'm just wondering as we move into this next year with these, you know, newfangled offenses, and I'm talking about the read option and the pistol formations and things like that. These are the guys that are the master of that. I'm wondering how long it will take for them to catch on, and then we'll get back to regular drop back quarterbacks and regular quarterback play instead of these newer. But I think that's something that we might look, because a lot of NFL teams, they will go outside the norm. They'll get that running quarterback. They'll get that RG3. They will get that Russell Wilson up in Seattle. And these kind of offenses work best with them. Do you think you will see the end of the read option or the pistol formations and some of the new offenses that are coming with the new guys?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I've seen a lot of success so far in the NFL with it, you know, with these guys. I think Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, RG3, Russell Wilson, all these younger guys that come in and are a hit. So I think everybody wants to be that way. But the thing is, defenses always catch up, Sonny. I mean, it's just a matter of time. It might take 3 years. It might take five. But eventually something else is on the offense is going to have to change again. So right now in this day, I think this year it's going to be exciting to watch. I don't think they'll shut it down completely, but in a few years they'll have to start changing, because they will catch on.
All you got to do is look at the second year in Miami with the Wildcat and how that worked. I mean, it worked really well. I mean, and the third, they started to catch on. Now, as soon as a quarterback comes in that it's a Wildcat quarterback, they know what's coming their way. I mean, sooner or later it gets all figured out, but now that you have a quarterback on the field all the time that can do both of them, I think it would be best for them to definitely try to figure out how to get their quarterback to learn how to be the drop back quarterback as that success moves away. It's going to be real interesting how these teams are going to be doing it as they move forward. And Indianapolis Colts, 2-14, 11-5. The difference between a year makes. Andrew Luck doing what he did, 4,300 yards. Ballard, 814 yards rushing. Hilton, 861 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck has solidified himself as that drop back quarterback who doesn't need the spread or doesn't need the pistol. I mean, so I can see how it goes both ways, and you know, it's going to be real interesting looking at and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, I'm going to say it. I think Irsay needs to be the executive of the year. And I don't know how they figured that out, but I think Irsay definitely is the executive of the year. I think he saved this franchise over $100 million not having Peyton Manning on that football team. And they didn't do any worse than what you saw in Peyton Manning this year.
They didn't miss a beat, did they, Sonny? Wow. I mean, a rookie quarterback coming in, and what, did you have 2 wins before, and now what, they have 11 wins?
Yeah, 11-5. Went 11-5 last year, and a playoff appearance.
Plus, it makes the fans hungrier because they see this done with a rookie quarterback, so now the fans are going to get the season tickets. They're going to make sure they're there because they're excited about what this kid can do. Indianapolis is going to be a force to be reckoned with the longer Andrew Luck is there, so that's a great move. I mean, he's a genius.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody hated him for getting rid of him, but, you know, I'm a fan of the smart business move. And to have Peyton Manning on that football team was going to cost him $42 million to have him on that team this year. And all that money went to, because of roster spots and everything else, this guy saved $42 million, never mind the $20 million for the next 4 years after that if he kept paying. So he saved about $80 million by going down to a quarterback who's a rookie and saving a lot of money that way. 4 year, I think, if I'm not mistaken, his is a 5-year, $20 million contract. He's making out like a bandit. Not only that, if he finds out some of the weaknesses on this team and is able to bring in the guy that's going to require some money, you're going to have to look out for the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans' success that they had this year, they better make sure that they're ready to go come the next season.
Yeah, the Colts maybe, you know, win that division next year. I think with the way the Texans ended the season, Sonny, I mean, they look like a totally different team than when they started. Something's wrong there. And I mean, these guys don't seem as confident. They don't seem as cohesive together. So, hey, Indianapolis could sneak in and win the division this year.
Definitely. I think it's one of those plans that could end up happening. And it's going to be interesting to watch the AFC South in reality, because that's going to be huge. Now, you talk about a division that I think is going to be huge. I mean, there were some expectations this year, but the 2012-2013 NFC South, will it be a weak division? I don't know. Let's talk here a little bit. If you take a look at what's going on, Tampa Bay's got that crazy rookie running back down there, Martin, and never mind, they have Lavontre David and Mark Barron. I mean, that team is looking like it could maybe make a turn. The Saints, they get Peyton back, and that's huge. And then you have Breeze. He's solid. And now a new defense. Makes you kind of wonder what's going to happen. That Panthers, I mean, they finished strong. In the last five, they were 4-1. 4-0 in the last four. And the Falcons, they're just a good team. This is going to be a tough division next year. I mean, you know about the Falcons, whether or not they're going to choke. I mean, I know you think they're choke masters, but, man, that's going to be a tough division next season.
It is. It could be the best in football, one of the most competitive ones in football. And,
yep.
And you know, Sonny, I think I was a year too early on the Panthers because
– Right.
But I think this time, I think with the way they ended, the confidence, maybe another great draft, these guys could be right in contention there with Atlanta and New Orleans. And, I mean, it could be Tampa. I could see either one of these teams winning the division. But I think this time Cam Newton's going to come out and be a lot better, and I think the team overall will be a lot deeper. So
well,
Carolina's that team to watch for.
I
think I was wrong 1 year. I think I missed it by one season.
I think a lot of people did. But I think defensively they need to do something in their secondary, or they're just going to – it's going to be another long season for them. They were throwing on this team like crazy last season. And if they don't do something about the secondary, that's going to be a problem. But they'll issue that. They'll look at that in the draft as you move forward in this, you know – The studying that it takes place, all the film that watching that's going on leading up to this draft, I think that's going to be huge. I think there's some things that they need to take care of, but I agree with you. I Cam Newton, I'll tell you, maybe it's me, and I wanted to ask you. I saw Cam Newton doing a lot of standing in the pocket this year compared to the year before that, and maybe it's because he took a lot of hits, maybe because in the offseason he felt what RG3 is probably going to be feeling this year in the offseason. I mean, I think we saw really a different Cam Newton compared to year one. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think, but here's the deal. Cam Newton is a passer. I mean, first, and people forgot that at Auburn, he ran that, you know, that spread option, zone read, just different
yep.
things with the spread. But this guy's got a cannon, and he's very accurate. So I think he would rather pass first and then run second. But when he's running and throwing, he's unstoppable. So I'd like to see him throw more. I mean, it's going to keep him healthier. It's going to get everybody else involved more. So it's going to, you know, RG3 got hurt. I don't care how big you are, the more hits you take, the more likely you're going to get hurt. So I think they're starting to figure that out.
If you're the Seattle Seahawks, you spend $5 million on Matt Flynn this year. You already paid him $10 million to sit the bench. Now you're about ready to poke another $5 million at him just to let him sit because of Russell Williams. Russell Williams, $526,000. I mean, you talk about a bargain at an NFL quarterback. You got it in Wilson. But Matt Flynn, I mean, if you're the Seattle Seahawks, are you looking to move this guy?
I'm going to throw him off a cliff somewhere for that kind of money just to not have to pay him. But, yeah, you don't want to do that. And, Sonny, is there any way they can compensate Russell Wilson with more money now, or does the contract have to be complete?
Well, I think they're eligible for renegotiation after 3 years, if I understand the rule. And I may be incorrect about that, but I think I'm on. I think you can renegotiate a rookie contract after the third year, and that is at an option only at the club. I mean, in reality, for the next 2 or 3 years, this guy's not making even over $1 million. So they're going to have to figure out a way to keep this guy motivated, but they're not going to be able to do it until his third year. So they get the great thing. They get to find out if Wilson is the one-hit wonder, if he's going to continue doing it. Will the guy stay healthy? That's going to be a question. But, you know, when you look at backup quarterbacks at $5 million, I don't know if it's necessarily a bargain, but that just all depends upon what you thought about the potential of Matt Flynn at a quarterback position in the first place. Remember, this guy doesn't have 16 games underneath his belt. He's got one game and maybe a half, and you took a big chance. Now, granted, they made the playoffs. But still, I think if I'm an owner over in Seattle, I'm looking at wondering what we could possibly do at a cheaper rate than $5 million.
Yeah, and I mean, kudos to Seattle's the management and everything for playing Russell Wilson, even though they're only paying, you know, $500,000, because a lot of people would say, hey, we're paying him $5 million, he's going to be playing on the field. So kudos to them for putting winning first and not money, but it's time to tell him to hit the road now. I mean,
yeah,
he had one good game, and it didn't even matter. It was a game that really didn't even matter, and how many starters were playing on the defensive side of the ball when he was playing.
And not only that, it might have stopped the momentum the Packers had going into the playoffs because they were one and done that year. So I think it was good for Flynn, bad for the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers sitting in that game just kind of crazy going in there. Bruce Arians over in Arizona, one-hit wonder over in Indianapolis, or you think he can maybe change the atmosphere over in Arizona? The atmosphere in Arizona for the last 27 years has been, you know, we'll just field the team.
I think he can change it. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, somebody has to. Somebody's going to change it. Eventually it's going to change, so why not him?
Yeah, I looked at it, and I'm like, you know, he can do any worse. However, you know, talk about a screw job. Ken Whisenhunt getting fired over in Arizona, that's a screw job in itself. And he's primed. This guy is primed to take over San Diego. I thought if you're going to make that move, if you're not going to be in real consideration for any other head coaching jobs, you head over to San Diego and start doing the offensive coordinating thing that he's going to be doing. And then in reality, when McCoy falls on his face after the second year, you're primed with Ken Whisenhunt right there.
Exactly. So it's going to be exciting to see what he can do. If he can turn this around, what are you going to think, Sonny? If he can change a culture and get Arizona in the playoffs?
Well, I don't know. You can change a culture all day long, but if you don't have a quarterback, Arizona's got – they've always had talent. We could talk about Larry Fitzgerald. We could talk about Anquan Boldin when they were on that football. Leonard Pope, I mean, these are guys that should still be on this football team. They let go. But I think you keep those guys if you had a real quarterback. When Derek Anderson signed over there, Boldin was like, geez, get me on the first plane out of Sky Harbor Airport. I am gone. And it was probably the right thing to do. Boldin obviously now is a Super Bowl champion, you know, 4 years later. But at the same, the Arizona Cardinals have not done anything. And maybe it's me, and maybe I think too simplistic. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, what they did when they made the Super Bowl, you had to have a Hall of Fame-type quarterback, you know, playing the position in order to have success. And Arizona had no success. If you want to count Jake Plummer, which I like that guy, as a success, I mean, that's nothing to write home to mama about when you're talking about franchises. So you're looking at the quarterback position. What does Arizona have going into the season? And what have they shown that they're interested in doing in Arizona? And one of them, it's not grabbing up a quality quarterback, and it's still in question. Now, will Arians be able to do what he did with Andrew Luck with Kevin Cobb? Doubt it. I mean, I doubt it. I think that's something that Andy Reid might be able to do. That's why I'm thinking, you know, Kevin Cobb in a Kansas City Chiefs jersey, that wouldn't surprise me. However, when you're not gonna get that. I mean, John Skelton. I mean, okay, he's a good quarterback, but that's not the quarterback that you want to lead your team into and tell your fans that you're interested in winning Super Bowls. I think they're still dropping the ball. They got to figure out how to get a real quarterback in there in Arizona.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, can they? We're going to find out. I just don't think Colt's the guy, Sonny. I mean, he's had so many chances, and, I mean, you know, it's just one of those kind of backups again. Where did he play before that? Was it St. Louis? Where did Colt play? Philadelphia, that's right, Philadelphia.
Yeah, Colt played in Philadelphia.
But it's easy to be the backup guy, you know, and come in and have a good game or so than to be the starter and to be
no
the
film
one.
There's no film on you.
Yeah.
Literally, there's no film on you. And just like when you're talking about the spread offense and the pistol defense, hey, once you get film, and that might have been Cam Newton's problem as well going into this past season. Now there's film on this guy. Now they had the whole 7 months off season to figure out how you're going to stop Cam Newton. Same thing with RG3, and that's, you know, that's why I trust defensive coordinators in the NFL more so than, you know, players that are that way. These guys played the game. They're defensive coordinators for a reason. I think it's a very respectful position on a football team. Because I mean, look at all the rustle that's going on down here in Dallas about that old-timer they bring in here as a defensive coordinator. They love him. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head.
Kippen.
Yeah, Kippen. Yeah. I mean, everybody loves this guy. I mean, I have not heard anybody say anything negative unless – you know, the negativity that, you know, he's about ready to get in a box and go 6 feet under. I mean, he's old people. But take away from that, I haven't heard any bad things about him. And I think that's where the old school mentality works. If you look at Singletary and what he did, now I forgot what team he went to coach as a defensive coordinator. He was very successful where he was. I forget where it was. But if you look at these old school coaches, as a head coach, they're not good. At position coaching, that's where I think it works out, and that's why these younger coaches that can, you know, pat the guys on the ass and say everything's going to be okay, more so than a Monty Kippen ain't going to be patting anybody on the ass. I got news for you. This guy is so old school that they almost fell off of the tracks. That's how old school this guy is. So, you know, there's the median, and I think. And I hate to say this, I think the Dallas Cowboys, even though I didn't necessarily agree with Rob Ryan getting fired, this might be the right thing to do because you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys. I think Jason Garrett knows how to handle these young guys and keeping them happy. Then they get those old school guys like Callahan on the offensive side. Then you got Kippen on defense. You get the best of both worlds. You get the discipline each and every day from your position coaches, and then you got the guy that'll pat you on the head and say everything's okay.
Yeah, I think it was time to get rid of Ryan. I'm not. Sold on this guy. I'm not sold on his brother, I think. But I just don't think that's going to be enough to change the culture in Dallas. I mean, as long as Jerry Jones is there, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, he's going to put a yes man under him to coach, and there's never going to be any results on the field. So too bad for Dallas, right?
I completely agree with you to a point. And I'll say that in as far as until week one of the NFL. Then, I mean, because – say what you want about Jerry, because Jerry deserves all the criticism in the world. But one thing that Jerry Jones has not gotten credit for this past season, he's kept his nose during the game out of the ear of the head coach of this football team. And I know that took a lot. I mean, Jerry Jones calling a play is like a cocaine addict jonesing for a line. You know what I'm saying? And that had to take a lot. I mean, as much as he is a complete responsibility of what's happening in Dallas, he is trying. And I put last year on the players. That team should have been able to go at least 9-7 instead of an 8-8 missing the playoffs yet again. Sometimes you're going to have to put something on the shoulders of the players and the coaches more so than Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is trying. Hey, Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl. If anybody questions that, they're crazy. Now the way that he goes about doing it is a little bit different, but that's the game, and that's what Jerry Jones has to figure out how he's going to do it. So with all these new players in set down there, as far as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, they may or may not have the right get up, but I think it's moving in the right direction, and we'll see what happens. But that team last year, not making the playoffs, you know, that was useless, and I think that comes from coaching.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones is a competitor, Sonny. You know that. I mean, he wants to win. He would kill his own mother to get a Super Bowl ring.
But
I think you have to start learning from your mistakes and what actually works. And right now, Garrett's just not the coach, in my opinion, to lead them to a Super Bowl. So I don't know if it's going to be he's not getting rid of him because he does exactly what he wants in a way. But I think Jerry Jones likes winning too much to keep this guy around. I've never been a Garrett fan.
No, and I think they got rid of the wrong coach in reality. I think Jason Garrett should have been the one to go. But at the time, you know, Wade Phillips was the head coach when they were playing really, really bad. So that's the way I kind of look at that. Well, folks, we did it. Carmen, thank you for joining us here this morning. Always enjoy having you here on the show, my friend.
All right, y'all have a good one, guys.
Yep, and we're going to be back up on the air on the Couch to Stay Sports Show at 2 o'clock p.m. You're welcome to join us over there as well. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, and I'm out here. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.